Willkommen zum ersten Teil unserer Serie zum Thema Migration im ostdeutschen und transatlantischen Kontext. In Teil 1 sprechen wir darüber, wie es ist, sich als nicht-deutsche Person in Ostdeutschland zu Hause zu fühlen. Eine Produktion vom DAI Sachsen.
Wir haben uns heute in dem wunderschönen Plagwitz zusammengesetzt. Wir sitzen in meiner Wohnung. Hallo, Hanna.
Hallo.
Hanna, beschreib doch den Raum mal so ein bisschen.
Es fühlt sich ein bisschen so an, als würden wir in einer britischen Bibliothek sitzen, nur mit sehr, sehr vielen Decken. Mhm. Also ein Mix aus Bibliothek und Pferdestall, würde ich mal sagen.
Oha, ein Pferdestall. Wie kommt denn der Eindruck zustande, Hanna?
Wegen der ganzen Decken.
Genau, nur zum Verständnis für die Zuhörerinnen und Zuhörer. Wir haben hier extra Decken aufgehangen an die Wände, um die Akustik des Raums zu optimieren und vielleicht auch nebenbei so ein bisschen als angenehmen Nebeneffekt das Ganze so ein bisschen gemütlicher zu machen.
Genau, damit wir uns schön heimatlich und wohnlich fühlen.
Genau, wir haben es uns hier schön gemütlich gemacht, wir haben uns Tee warm gemacht, wir sitzen hier mit kleinen Schoko-Weihnachtsmännern, weil es ist ja auch schließlich Winter, und sind jetzt bereit, dafür ein sehr entspanntes Gespräch zu führen.
Aber wir sitzen nicht nur zu zweit hier, sondern auch zu viert.
Genau, wir sitzen hier tatsächlich nicht zu zweit.
Guter Übergang.
Hey.
Und vielleicht nutzen wir den Anlass gleich als Gelegenheit dafür, dass sich unsere Gäste einmal selbst vorstellen.
Sure. So, hi. My name is Selina Jean-Louis and I'm a master's student in American Studies at the Uni Leipzig. I'm originally from the States, from Atlanta, Georgia. I did my bachelor's in Boston and then came over to Germany to teach some English for a little bit and then decided I wanted to stay forever. So that's how I've made my way here to this Pferdestall couch room situation.
One thing just led to
it. Yeah, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. And it's nice. Hi, my name is Sabine Sietinje. I originally come from Latvia. I am a freelance artist in visual and stage art. I did my bachelor's in Freiburg at some point. Then I stopped doing that and moved to Leipzig. And ever since I'm here and I like it and I'm going to stay here indefinitely.
Lovely. So it's a room full of people who love Leipzig then?
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely. What do you love most about Leipzig?
I think I do enjoy the freedom of expression and the friendliness of people that some people disagree with. I've heard that people don't like Leipzigers. I do like Leipzigers. And it's a nice, for me, it's a nice mix between what I experienced in West Germany and what I grew up with in Latvia, so in Eastern Europe. So yeah, it's a bit shady and I like it.
Yeah, I love it as well. I think, yeah, I would agree with you. I think that the people here actually are pretty friendly. Although I did spend a few months in Cologne and the people there were just like friendly level max. I mean, people always told me, oh, people in Cologne are so nice, you're gonna love it. And I was like, okay, yeah, whatever. Germans are Germans. But then I went there and I was like, oh my gosh, people just compliment you on the street. That doesn't happen here in Leipzig. Yeah, it happened to me like 3 times, you know. So that was really nice. But even compared to Cologne, Leipzigers are very nice and friendly. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that Leipzig is just nice because it has a big city feeling, but yet you always can meet new people. But then you always have some sort of connections between people. Like if you meet someone who's relatively in your age range, you know, maybe is also a student, then the chances of you having mutual friends are very high. So that is really cool. And yeah, it just is a nice city and it's cheap, which is also very nice.
Yes, affordable dinner options.
Yeah, definitely. And falafel.
Yeah.
Were you familiar with Leipzig and Eastern Germany before you came here?
Well, I had been here once when I was 11. I was traveling here with my family because I think my dad was having an exhibition somewhere. And I have one very strong memory from that trip, which is me eating a crepe in the Christmas market. And that was pretty much the sole piece of information I had about Leipzig before moving here. And it was enough. And the fall and Christmas market, I did go there. Or Christmas time, I went to the Christmas market and I did have a crepe and it was delicious.
Everything came full circle.
That must have been one hell of a crap that you had then. I guess you more or less already segued into what we want to talk about today, which is particularly ideas of belonging. So more or less, where do you feel at home? What does home mean to you? Where do you feel like you belong, or where do you feel like you're made not to feel to belong? Would you guys care to share some experiences perhaps? Or like, what does, maybe we just start out easy by saying, what does belonging mean to you?
I don't think that's an easy question.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
start out
what
easy.
What is the meaning of existence? Let's just start
out simple, you know. I don't know. I think for me, belonging is just feeling content, feeling safe, feeling like I have people around me that love me and care about me and that I can be myself around. I think that it took me a little bit to have this feeling like I really belonged here, because I moved here. I originally actually had lived in Chemnitz, which I did not feel like I belonged in at all. And I think actually because I didn't feel like I belonged in the first moment, it really affected the way that I viewed the city. I lived there for a year and I actually moved there right after the 2018 like riots in Chemnitz, and it was a very uneasy feeling in the city, and I just felt like, okay, this is not where I want to be. I know I have to live here for 10 months. I'm just going to like zieh durch and make it. And living in Leipzig, I do not feel that way at all. Like, I don't see an end date to my living here, and I think that's a sign to me that I just really feel like I belong here, that I can see myself living here for 2 more years or 5 more years or 10 more years. But, and I know that whenever I move somewhere else, Leipzig will always really have a special place in my heart, because I feel like I've grown a lot here as well.
Did you have a time when you were in Chemnitz that you couldn't imagine staying in Germany, or when you had a very strong feeling or desire to get away?
Not to get away from Germany, but to get away from Chemnitz.
Yeah. Yes. So you still have hope in Germany.
Yeah, definitely. And I at the time I was dating someone who lived in Leipzig, and that's kind of how I got introduced to the city. Because I was enrolled in the university in Chemnitz, so I had the Sachsen ticket, and so I could always come to Leipzig for free. And it was always just so nice, and I really fell in love with the city, and that was one of the reasons I moved here. I like to think it was less for my ex-boyfriend, but I think it was like 50%. But then we actually ended up breaking up about a year into me living here. And I had this like crisis moment where I was like, okay, it was right when COVID started as well. So it was like everything in life was crazy in the world. And I was like, okay, I'm in this city. I don't know that many people apart from his friends. Am I going to leave? Should I leave? Should I stay? And I contemplated for a really long time, and I realized, you know what? No, I'm not going to let him take the city away from me, because I love it here. And I really had to try to build my own community after that breakup. And I'm so proud of myself that I did, because now when I look around me, I just have so many friends and people that I care about, and yeah, living here has just been really, really wonderful. So I'm glad that I didn't move away, go back to the States, or go to another city.
So you kind of had to make Leipzig your home.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was a good, like, you have to have a city that's open to being your home, but then you have to put in the work to make it your home. And I think with Chemnitz, it wasn't open to be my home. So even if I had put in work, it wouldn't have worked out. And so I think with Leipzig, it was like a good foundation.
Yeah. Can you both also describe kind of how the energy of your hometown compares to Leipzig, for example?
Leipzig is quite similar to Riga. I mean, it also feels to me, in comparison to Freiburg, where I was before, it does feel more culturally mixed, and it feels a little run down. It feels that there's a sense of history, that there's layers of culture imbued within the streets. So in Riga is very, very similar in that way. So, and this is also the reason why, like, I think I definitely agree with that some, with you when you say that some cities are more kind of allowing for you to make it your home than others. And like for me, Leipzig is that as well, because it resonates with Riga so strongly.
I can imagine it's quite difficult to compare Leipzig to Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, definitely. I was trying to think of ways that they're similar, and I think that they're just so different in every way. I mean, in terms of diversity, Atlanta is obviously way more diverse because the United States is just generally more diverse. But I think that Leipzig just has this feeling of possibility that I think also is found in Atlanta. Atlanta is a very innovative city. There's a lot of arts stuff going on among young people, and a lot of political engagement as well. And I find that here as well. I think when I think about Leipzig, I always describe it as like this oasis in Saxony. And I actually think Atlanta is like an oasis in Georgia. Because you have, well, now we're a blue state, which is amazing. Hey. But for my whole life, we were like this Republican state. But I always was like, I'm from Atlanta. I'm from Georgia, but I'm from Atlanta. And that said so much about me as a person. And I feel like it's the same in Leipzig. Like, I live in Saxony, but I live in Leipzig. So it's kind of like this island in the middle of very conservative, very anti-everything. So I think that's kind of a similar vibe that I get.
I think that's a great observation, actually, because I can imagine that sometimes when you live in a city, you don't really associate it or make it part of your identity as much. But in Leipzig, as part of the Eastern Germany and all the associations associated with it, I think that's very interesting. And also comparing that to Georgia as well.
Yeah. Would you care to chip in how Leipzig compares to where you're from, or why you feel like you belong here? Oh, wait, this sounds really mean.
Wow. No, I can answer to the bit about belonging, because as I said, I mean, it does have similar qualities to Riga. But because I've been living here for a while, and also before that, I lived in Bulgaria for almost a year. And I've been to Spain for my Erasmus, so I kind of moved around a bit. So I kind of lost a sense of belonging altogether, especially when it comes to a connection to a place or to a city. So I have very strong connections to my habit places, like the cafe that I go to on Saturdays to have brunch, you know, and those type of things, like the theaters that I frequent. But I wouldn't say that I belong in Leipzig or that I belong in Riga, because that would be lying pretty much.
That's interesting.
Like I think I feel the strongest sense of belonging in like abstract places, like galleries or theater halls, places that have similar feeling to them wherever you go.
So more like you feel more home in spaces rather than set places.
Yes.
So rather than a city, like a specific space like the theater. Okay.
Yes. Because also like those spaces, they attract a similar kind of person. Mm-hmm. So and they kind of share more similarities and differences wherever you go.
Mm-hmm. So would you generally say that sharing a sort of similar identity is something that's very vital to your sense of belonging?
I don't think it's possible for me to find a person that I would fit with in that sort of way, but because the space already defines which characteristic is prioritized, that is a point you can connect. So in the same, if you go to an exhibition opening, for example, right, it's clear for you both that you are into art and you maybe work in the field and those type of things, and in that point in time you'll be connecting and I will feel a sense of belonging, whereas the next day if we see each other in the supermarket, I'll not.
We both eat food. We don't. Amazing.
You too? Oh my god! Yeah. we should eat food together, and then we get married.
Yeah, that's a step.
Exactly.
One step marriage.
Yeah. Could you maybe think of a place where you feel like you certainly don't belong, or like an experience that you've had where you felt like you weren't belonging? Oh, I mean, Selina, you were talking about when you came to Germany, how you didn't feel like you belonged to Chemnitz. Could you maybe go into detail about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it had to do with the period in time when I moved there, just because it was right after all of the riots and right-wing demonstrations. And I think it was this feeling of walking around the city and not knowing who was walking by me. Like, obviously, there's a lot of white people, and of course there's good white people and there's bad white people, and but they look the same. Mm-hmm. And so I think, okay, are you in a grumpy attitude here, you know, lady who is scanning my groceries at the grocery store? Or are you looking at me and thinking, I really wish she didn't live here? And it's just kind of this, you just don't know, this unknown feeling. And I think the feeling of being in a place where there's so many unknowns was very unsettling. And of course, you can't escape that anywhere you go. I mean, there's Nazis here in Leipzig as well. But I feel like the amount of people who are against that is just way higher here. And I know that if anything were to ever happen, hopefully there would be people around me who would stand up for me. And that feeling, I don't want to trash talk Chemnitz. I mean, I know that there's a lot of great people who live there. And I know that there's a lot of young people who want to move there in order to make it more open, in order to make it a more welcoming city. And I love that for them, but that's not my job, you know? I don't know if I could subject myself to that, but I'm, of course, like amazed by people who decide to do that. I think for me, I prioritize my sense of belonging over wanting to change a city, especially because I'm not from Germany. So I think, you know, maybe there's some nuances that I don't understand and that I will learn, hopefully, the longer I live here.
I think that also reminds me of when I lived in the US and you talked about those kind of nuances and those cultural cues, you kind of have to pick up on them. Mm-hmm. I remember so many times where I was like, okay, that's kind of a very German perspective of viewing a situation. And you kind of had to, as the weeks and months progressed and when I was in the US, I kind of had to adapt to the energy. And I think one instance where it was really clear for me was Germans tend to be quite pessimistic about things. And in the US, it wasn't really appreciated to talk more. Well, in German culture, negative emotions are more accepted. And in the US, they were not. And I think it definitely took a while to kind of learn those cultural cues, also in terms of safety and security as well. And yeah, that kind of also reminds me of what you just talked about in Chemnitz. Was Chemnitz a choice you made, or were you assigned to be in Chemnitz?
No, I was assigned. So I came over on a Fulbright scholarship. So I was assigned to a school, so essentially assigned to the city where I lived. And I was fine with it, you know. I thought, okay, you know, I would love to be in a bigger city, but I was okay with it. And actually, right when all of the protests and everything was happening, the Fulbright Commission came to me and said, you know, like, if you don't feel comfortable living there, we can move you. But I had already had set up so much stuff. I already had a WG. I already had made contact with my school.
Unpack your bags.
I know. I was like, I don't know. I just would rather, like, do it, you know. And it's crazy to think, I wonder if I would have made the decision to not go there, my life would just be so different now. I don't know if they would have kept me within Saxony or moved me somewhere completely different. It's really crazy to think that if I would have made one different decision, how different my life would be now. But that wasn't a choice for me.
And also how different your perceptions of Germany would probably have been like.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you do any Reddit or other like searches of the area?
No, I had spent some, well, I did my exchange semester in Berlin, or okay, like my Ausland semester. I don't know what that is in English right now. And so I knew East Germany, but of course Berlin is just a completely different ballgame. But I really didn't know that much. I did in my bachelor write a lot about East German like memory culture. I wrote my bachelor's thesis about that. So I knew like on an academic level things about East Germany. On a political level, yes, but you never really know it until you're there. But I would honestly say my experiences in East Germany have been very positive. I mean, I've met so many nice people here. I think that it's really, like, East Germany gets such a bad rep throughout Germany, but I think it's great. I mean, I wouldn't live here if I didn't think that. And like I said, it does kind of remind me of the South in the States, you know, like it has this reputation of being very conservative, and it is conservative, and there are a lot of people who are racist and every ist you can imagine. But there are also really kind people, and there's this sense of community and this shared history as well that I think is really, really shines through.
Hannah and Selina were talking about how they feel like they have to adapt to a place in a certain way, right? And you as an artist, how do you negotiate your own identity versus, you know, in terms of like, do you have to fit into a place, or do you give something of yourself to the place that you surround yourself with? How do you negotiate that?
I think by this point, I mean, I'm not 20 anymore, so kind of I've learned to not adapt to the place, but rather see whatever differences arise as somewhere that I can create from and somewhere I can connect with the artist community there through. I would even go as far as to say that, like trying to adapt would be damaging not only creatively but also psychologically at this point, because having moved around so much, it leaves its bruises. And at this point in my life, it's more about figuring out who I am without taking the environment into account and trying to produce art from that and kind of dig deeper into what is the thing that stays regardless of the context.
So the environment doesn't really change the way you create your art?
No, it doesn't. Okay. I mean, obviously, I love collaborating with our other artists throughout disciplines. So it changes in the sense that in every place you will meet a different kind of person, a different kind of philosophy is going to be preferred within a community of artists. But for myself as a creator, it's the constant search for the inner voice.
I think it's interesting you say that, because I'm of course thinking of myself as a non-artist person. I like appreciating art, but I have no skills whatsoever. But I think this idea of having this sense of knowing who you are is really important, that I've learned as well after moving around during my life. And it's interesting that you say this about having this inner self that you have to know and that is not changing, because I think from my experience as well, moving around, I find that you have to really know who you are, or else you're just going to lose yourself in the place that you're at. And I think also you mentioned like you're not 20 anymore. I think if when I look back, I definitely changed a lot more based off of where I was. But now I think if I were to move again, I would be the same person, mm-hmm. and I would seek out the same kinds of people that I surround myself with now. But I think as if you're thinking of moving around or being having this kind of lifestyle where you live somewhere for a few months and maybe somewhere else for a few years, you really do need to know who you are, because having to start over all the time really is not easy. And I think it mm-hmm. makes it easier if you know who you are and what's important to you.
Definitely. And it connects directly to the theme of belonging, right? I mean, we kind of talked about this notion in connection to a place, but I think once you hit your early adulthood, it's searching for the belonging within yourself, because only through there can you function and then flourish as a human being.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, those are very profound words.
We're two profound women, you know?
We are. We're fantastic.
I'm deciding whether I should bring my experience into it as well.
Yeah, of course.
Sure,
yeah, please do share.
Well, because just what we were talking about right now, when I lived in the US, I felt like I had the experience of living in a small town compared to a bigger city like Leipzig. I felt like I had been catapulted into my teenage years in a way. And my personality and my interests also definitely changed. I mean, some of them obviously stayed the same, but at the same time, because there were so many limitations, that there wasn't a big city that I could go to just on a whim, I felt like I became another person. And I wouldn't necessarily say it's a bad thing. In my opinion, it was something that kind of broadened my horizon and also made me more resilient and adaptive, and also kind of made me think outside the box and actually imagine myself, like, what would it be like if I lived in a small community in rural Germany? Because I've always lived in big cities. And mm-hmm. I think that's also very interesting, how kind of the limitations that you encounter in a certain environment change your sense of belonging and also what's important to you, and how that changes you, but also how you influence a space.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I was wondering if you have any like anecdotes where you kind of have encountered people who have inspired your sense of self and who have kind of broadened your horizon in a different ways of thinking or being.
So belonging as a dynamic process, so to say.
Exactly.
Belonging never is the same, but it changes over time, over like what the spaces that you live in. And that's a very interesting concept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I feel like living in Leipzig, I don't know if Leipzig has changed me or if I've just grown into who I was supposed to be the whole time. I guess you can never really tell. But I think I've definitely changed since I've moved here. I mean, obviously my core values and way of living has not changed, but it's actually funny. My mom came and visited a few months ago, and she just hated the way I dressed. I mean, she literally made so many underhanded comments towards me, you know, hey, let me take you shopping. Let me buy you a new jacket. You know, why do your shoes have holes in them?
I'm like, mom says the same thing.
I'm like, yeah. I found them in a box on the street.
Exactly.
I'm not
what can
going
you understand?
To, I know, I'm not going to pay money when there's these shoes right here. And I feel like this is a very Leipzig thing, you know, like this idea of no one cares here what you look like or how you dress or anything. When I compare it to the States, I mean, I studied in Boston. I mean, Boston is like the mecca for East Coast elitism.
And preppiness.
And yeah, and I remember when I went to Boston College, it's like this Catholic private university, and I was like, okay, I have to get the North Face backpack. I have to get the LL Bean boots. I have to like look the part. And I feel like here in Leipzig, you also do kind of have to look the part, but it's so much more relaxed that you can literally wear anything you want and be any way you want. And no one really cares because you know that there's going to be someone who's dressed even more weirdly than you, and someone who's on the street yelling some crazy stuff, you know? So I feel like here there's just more ways of being that are acceptable. It's more open. It's more, you know, you don't have to spend hours standing in front of the mirror looking at your outfit, your makeup, whatever, because people here just don't care. And I love that. My mom hates it, but I love it, you know?
On a good day, my mom says I look German. On a bad day, she says I look homeless. And both are true.
Yeah, that's very Leipzig.
Yeah.
But it's interesting how kind of... Because I experienced the same exact thing in the US. A lot of people dress in leggings and like sweatshirts, and you kind of have to look the part, as you just said.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how a place can really determine your sense of style in terms of fashion, but also in terms of food, for example, like what you eat. I think that's very interesting.
Yeah, I'm moving in with my roommate this week, and she's vegan, like apparently everyone in Germany is, and I'm scared.
We're in a bubble, sweetie.
Yeah, I guess. Everyone in like the young-ish space in major cities in Germany. Yeah. And I'm...
It's a lefty crowd.
Yeah, I'm scared about that, but I think it'll be good. She'll cook for me, so that's great. But I think, yeah, that's also a thing. Like, people here are much more vegetarian. I do a Thanksgiving event every year, and moving here, I had to make it vegetarian. And I was like, what is this? I have to make a turkey. But, you know, it is what it is. Like, people...
What was your turkey substitute?
There just wasn't one. There was no sub. It was just all sides. But sides are amazing as well. So, I mean, Thanksgiving wouldn't be Thanksgiving without the side dishes. So I did that. But yeah, so just kind of having to like adapt to that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And also what's available and what's not available.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be interesting to know for you personally, like given your cultural background and also the aspects that are important to you, what makes a place for you personally?
Mm-hmm. I mean... I guess multiple things. a major factor is definitely memories. So I know that for myself, I have 6 months in order to make a place feel kind of homish. So I went on an Erasmus that lasted 5 months and I never felt well there.
You would have just stayed one more month.
Exactly, exactly. It was, you know, had to go back and have an intensive course on something. I don't know. Doesn't even matter anymore. But yeah, it's the memories made. Like still now, if I feel nostalgic about Freiburg, for example, I can close my eyes and then I have this map of the tiny city that it is in my head. I can walk around and then in every other place, it's like a video game that I can click on it and the memory will pop up. So, and this is what I also noticed in Leipzig. Once my friends from there came visiting, then now I can also go through the city and be like, oh, we walked a dog here. That was nice. So I would say it's mostly that.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that it just is about how you feel in a place. And I keep thinking to myself, like, I say now that I want to stay in Germany forever, but you never really know what will happen. Because I feel like I can adapt to really wherever I go. And I was thinking recently about why I feel like I can make so many places home. Like Atlanta is my home, obviously, but I also call Berlin home because my partner lives there and I spent 6 months there during my undergrad. I call Leipzig home. I call Boston home. I mean, for me, I don't know. I was talking to a friend about this actually, and she's a Jewish friend of mine. And we were both kind of thinking about why we can move around and just kind of feel comfortable in a lot of places. And she said something to me, which I had never thought about before. She said, Selina, you and I are both part of a diaspora. You know, she as a Jewish woman, me as a Black woman, our histories are connected to like moving around the world, whether by force or not. She said, you know, that's maybe a reason why we both feel like we can live in a lot of places because we can connect everywhere. And I thought that was so interesting. And I've always been thinking about that and thinking about how does my identity make it that easier? I mean, on the one hand, harder, obviously, because you face discrimination, and racism, but at the same time, it makes you more adaptable as well. And yeah, I just thought that was interesting that she said that. And I'm curious to see if I end up staying here or if my diasporic identity leads me somewhere else. But yeah, we'll see.
Sie hörten eine Episode der Atlantic Hour. Die Atlantic Hour versteht sich als Ort für transatlantischen Austausch in deutscher und englischer Sprache und wird moderiert und konzipiert von Christoph Nostitz und Hannah Vossen in Kooperation mit dem Deutsch-Amerikanischen Institut Sachsen. Musik